CNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 8:02. A panel of experts met Wednesday night at the University of Alaska Anchorage Justice Center to give talks on tribal courts in Alaska. KNBA's Jocelyn Estes reports Assistant Professor Kevin Illingworth heads the Tribal Management Program for the Interior Aleutians campus. He says tribal nations predating the United States gave up lands and resources, but extensive federal and state laws and court rulings have established they did not give up their inherent sovereignty.
Inherent authority essentially means that tribes have all the sovereign authority that they have ever had, unless that was specifically taken away by the United States Congress.
Illingworth says tribal judicial systems have existed since time immemorial and continue to serve a useful purpose. For instance, he says that tribes are able to help families situated far from the state's Office of Children's Services, or OCS, which maintains offices in urban and hub communities.
Kids have to fall a long ways to get caught by that OCS safety net. Tribal sovereignty and the tribe is there right away to make sure that people can get help when they need it, that they don't have to wait, that they don't have to call somebody outside of the community, that people can be safe in their own communities. To me, that's what tribal sovereignty is about. It really is about taking care of your own community, making sure that people are safe, making sure that it's a good place to live.
According to Alaska Legal Services, there are 78 tribal courts in the state. They hear cases ranging from animal control and juvenile delinquency to domestic violence protection. Tribal government specialist Lisa Yeager with the Tanana Chiefs Conference says in the years since Congress adopted the Indian Child Welfare Act in 1978, tribal courts just in interior Alaska have prosecuted an estimated 3,000 cases, many of them adoptions and child custody cases.
We have 37 tribal courts. We have 37 tribes. They are not all active at the same time. We have some tribes right now that don't have any active cases. We have other tribes that will have 100 cases right now that are active in their tribal court.
In recent weeks, tribes have criticized an amendment to the Violence Against Women Act that specifically limits Alaska Native tribal sovereignty. The law recognizes the authority of Native American tribes to prosecute offenders in cases involving non-natives and tribal members. When sponsor U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska introduced the amendment in February, she said it clarifies that those provisions only apply to Alaska's one reservation, Metlakatla, because other Alaska tribes are landless. But staff attorney Natalie Landreth with the Native American Rights Fund says case law from the 1990s makes it clear tribal authority is not tied to land status. Under a Rural Alaska Public Safety Initiative proposed by Murkowski, the state would individually review tribal courts' procedures and could approve them to try cases of domestic violence among their own tribal members with the consent of the offender, but excluding non-natives and offenders from other tribes. Tribes and state officials are reviewing the proposal. Murkowski was not available for comment on this story. The Nome Community Center's Social Justice Task Force is hosting the second community conversation about racial equity this weekend. The goal for the meeting is to find understanding in issues surrounding racial tension in Nome to create a healthier and united community. Everyone is invited to attend and share their stories and thoughts on how the community can move forward with cultural identity. The task force emphasizes that every voice is important and needs to be heard on these issues. This is an open dialogue where community members are encouraged to listen deeply, be present and engaged, and speak with care for others. The racial equity conversation is happening this Saturday, so tomorrow at 4:30 at the Nome Mini Convention Center. Congressman Don Young says he's not worried about an investigation into whether he violated ethics rules. The House Ethics Committee announced this month they're looking into whether the congressman misused campaign funds, failed to report gifts, and lied to federal officials. During a visit to Juneau, Young told reporters he's cooperating with the investigation. He also accused the committee of playing politics and targeting him alongside New Jersey Democrat Rob Andrews.
You know, reality is that I truly believe that they had to have a Republican as well as a Democrat. As you know, Andrews is under the scrutiny too, and we'll see what happens. I'm confident where I am, always have been. If I wasn't that confident, I couldn't continue to run and look the Alaskans in the eye.
Young says that the new investigation should not affect his work in Washington.
I've been under a cloud all my life. I'm sort of like living in Juneau. It rains on you all the time. You don't even notice it.
Young had previously been under investigation by the FBI for similar charges, but the agency concluded there was not enough evidence to convict him beyond a reasonable doubt. In a 2010 memo, the FBI said they had instead, quote, forwarded a letter outlining certain actions taken by Congressman Young and will leave punishment to the discretion of the Ethics Commission. And Alaska Representative Don Young, one of the most senior Republicans in the House, apologized for using the racial slur wetbacks in referring to Hispanic migrant workers. Young, now in his 21st term in the House, said in an interview that when he was young, his father used 50 to 60 wetbacks to pick tomatoes on their California farm. In a statement issued late yesterday and reported by several news organizations, Young said the derogatory term was used commonly when he was growing up and that he meant no disrespect. He said he had discussed in the interview the compassion he had for these workers. The Republican Party is seeking to temper its hardline positions on those in the country illegally to improve its standing among Hispanic workers. If you have not noticed already while driving or walking around Nome, the Welcome to Nome Gold Pan and the Three Lucky Swedes located in Old St. Joe's Square are covered with crocheted and knitted items. This is thanks to the hard work of Aaron Fortin, Sarah Koenig, Tracy McGarry, and Amy Russell Jam-Goshen, who decided to yarn bomb for a cause. Koenig explains that yarn bombing is when people illegally mold, piece, and crochet items, most often around historic landmarks. For this project, however, she says the four received approval from the Nome City Manager and City Council back in December because the gold pan is so significant. The cause for their knitting and crocheting was Choose Respect, a campaign around the state that brings awareness to the issues of domestic violence and sexual assault. The colors used on the items are taken from the Choose Respect campaign: purple for domestic violence, teal green for sexual assault, and royal blue for child abuse.
By putting these colors on it, you know, we weren't just decorating it. The colors stand for something important to the state of Alaska.
Koenig is responsible for the crocheted blanket covering what may be the largest gold pan in the world. It's laced like a drum on the back of the pan to hold it in place. She says it took her 2 months and 9 days to complete.
We just want people to know, you know, they can get help. We have a women's shelter here that we're raising money for, and we hope that, you know, it'll go to good causes. And just let the community know that they can seek help.
Cans will be placed in local businesses to collect funds for local domestic violence resources, and Koenig says they're also asking for a generous donation from businesses to purchase the 220-inch diameter blanket. She says 100% of the proceeds will go to the women's shelter. The blanket, hats, leg and face and shovel warmers will be kept in place until next Thursday. And a look at the price of gold this morning, down $8.90 an ounce to $1,597.50. An ounce of silver is down 33 cents to $28.46. It's unofficially 18 degrees at the KNOM studios, 11 minutes after 8 o'clock.